Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Everyone, and welcome to Those Forking Fangirls, where we talk all things nerdy book, TV, movie, pop culture fandoms, and how they integrate into our adult lives. I'm Natasha.
And I'm Christine.
And today, we are talking about love triangles, and why do people think that they hate them?
Yeah, because you clearly don't, and if you think you actually do, just wait till the main discussion. You can hold my beer while I explain to you how much you secretly love them.
But first, as always, we're going to head into Snap, Crackle, Pop culture news. If you want to skip it and go straight to the main discussion, there is always a timestamp in the show notes.
All right. Well, we've got Today in Taylor Swift news today. Very exciting. Taylor Swift surprised everybody at the Toy Story premiere last night for Toy Story 5. First, the surprise was she was on the red carpet and she had her original Toy Story VHS that she was having the cast sign. She had Tom Hanks and Tim Allen sign it, which is so cute.
That is so cute.
Yes. And then when everyone went inside, she appeared performing I Knew It, I Knew You in this gorgeous floor-length yellow dress. Mm-hmm. And then she brought out Randy Newman, who started playing on the piano, You've Got a Friend in Me, and singing. And then she did the second verse, and then they sang together.
I haven't even seen
this. Did you not see this?
No.
Oh, my God. It's so cute and so beautiful. I opened up Instagram when I got home, and Juju had made a video about it already because he was there.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God. And I reblogged it, and then I was like, I need to see the whole thing, because he like mashed together the two songs, you know, in the video. Oh. I was like, excuse me, I need the full performance now. And there's an interview of her going up or up now that talking about the experience making the song for the film. And no other artist has been a part of the Toy Story films except Randy Newman.
Nope.
So
that's wrong. It's,
that's what she said. No one's been brought in to make a song for it.
The one, the artist who, the sad song.
What sad song?
It, how does it go? No, there's another song.
But was it Randy Newman?
No, it wasn't Randy Newman. I don't know, maybe? Wait. Sad song from Toy Story.
Anyway, that wasn't even my point here. My point was that
when she loved me.
Okay, who wrote it?
When Somebody Loved Me, okay. Everything Was Beautiful. By Sarah McLachlan. But okay. Who wrote it? Oh. Written by Randy Newman.
Yeah, that's what she said. Okay. Anyway, so she was saying it was such an honor to write a song for Toy Story, and also that Toy Story 5 is her favorite, and she teared up while she was talking about it.
Aww.
She was like, please don't mind me. Just really loved the movie. So That's exciting. We're going to see it next week, and I'm pumped. I think I covered all my Taylor Swift news. Okay.
I haven't seen Toy Story 3 or 4.
Hold on. You haven't seen Toy Story 3?
No, I haven't.
What?
With the bear.
What?
That's I've not like seen it in its entirety.
The most iconic pop culture moments of our generation.
Yeah.
I can't believe this.
When did that one come out? How old was
it? It came out in like 2015, 2016. No, it must have been 2014, 2015 because I was dating someone when I saw it.
Yeah, I was not interested in it at that time. I think remember when you took me to see...
It was your too cool time.
It was. And then, yeah. And then we went to go see Inside Out and I was like, oh.
It's good.
And then the Forky one came out and I did press for that and I never saw it.
The Forky one wasn't great and you don't need to see it. Okay, it was just okay. And it was like, why did they make this? But I think they're back to having something with substance and a purpose.
I'm excited for the iPad to be the villain. That's what I'm excited for.
I don't know anything about this, so please stop spoiling the movie for me.
Christine Riccio!
I literally have seen nothing. Anyway, what I was going to say...
I'm rage baiting her right now.
...is... Anyway, M says, my four-year-old niece does love Forky, but she's four. I can see how that movie could be fun. Forky was the best part of it. You know, he was very cute. But the relationship between the toys, which is really the heart of all the films, wasn't prominently moving in that film. All right, do you have news or should I go into my other
big
news?
Yes, I do.
I have so much big news. It's all caps locked because I was so excited about it.
This happened at the end of our episode last week, but what? Anna Kendrick is going to be directing The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo.
Oh my God, I'm so glad you put that in here because I forgot to put it in. I was so excited too and I forgot because it was so long ago now.
That was last week.
An amazing gig she has landed. Directing The Seven Husbands of Evelyn fucking Hugo. Hot damn.
Has she ever directed anything ever before?
Yes. She just directed her own film, the one with the murderer guy.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
That is probably why she landed this.
Yeah. So I guess somebody departed, obviously, this project. Because it says that she was hired after two other filmmakers were previously attached. And departed for unknown reasons.
It's a big project.
Yeah.
It's a big story to fit into a film. So I could see how getting the script right could be a challenge. Mm-hmm. And it was probably lagging and maybe these other directors got other projects that they were pulled towards and weren't able to stay on this one. So I'm so glad that Anna Kendrick's here and she gets to make a splash with this amazing book.
Yeah. So it's going to be on Netflix. We still don't have a release date, but the production is rolling. I mean, pre-production.
Pre-production is rolling. Mm-hmm. Anna Kendrick's attached, which means that they're going to get some funding if they need it, which surprised that they do.
It's a huge novel.
I know, but I mean, maybe they needed Anna Kendrick attached. They needed a director attached, obviously. But having a big name attached like that gets people interested in working on it ASAP.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
Beach Read has started filming, and Yulian, who is the director, she shared, did you see the picture she shared?
Yes, from I did.
The set? Mm-hmm. And it was so cool to see them in character, because Gus looked so much like Gus. Like, just like what I pictured. January, I didn't picture her with short hair, but it's fine. I don't care. Love Phoebe. She's going to do a great job.
Yes.
I wonder how her American accent's going to be.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Yeah. But it's going to be great. It looks great. And we got the release date. It's going to be in theaters, May 7th, 2027.
Woo!
Woohoo! That's so exciting. That just means, and I already knew this, that People We Met on Vacation did so well that they're uber confident and sending straight to theaters.
Good.
Only in theaters, May 7th.
Good. I want that experience.
Pumped!
Today, in heated rivalry news, season 2 is set to begin mid-August, and it's going to go through December, mostly...
Oh, you mean begin filming?
Begin filming.
You're getting people excited.
Sorry. It's not coming until next year, like next...
2027,
like,
right?
Like late spring, early summer. Yeah, so like May, June, hopefully. I don't know. I feel like that's fast if they're filming through to December. It's mostly going to be on those sets that they built last time, and then some on some location in Ottawa and Toronto.
Okay, cool. Very exciting. Will they be in America at all?
No.
So they won't be eligible for Emmys again?
It's a Crave show, so it's not. Yeah, it's the production is Crave.
It's ridiculous.
Which is fully funded by Crave, so, and then it's just purchased. Yeah, they need to change those
rules. All right, this was so exciting. I talked about A Good Girl's Guide to Murder last week on the pod. I had binged season 2, and I was like, they have to do season 3. And Holly Jackson drops the bomb that not only have they been renewed for season 3, she's already written all the episodes, and they've shot them already. Okay?
Whoa.
Yes, they shot them back to back. She was like, yes, I am very tired. She's like, I literally wrote on every train, on every plane. I was on book tour. So season 3 is 4 episodes, which I think is perfect, because if you know the story, it needs to be told like that. You don't want to drag it out. 4 episodes, and it will come in 2027, and probably kind of early 2027 if they've already shot it. I'm assuming that it's already in the process of being edited and such. So exciting. I saw this first thing when I woke up yesterday morning, and I was like, ah! Immediate repost. And so, yeah, pumped. Season 2 is such a good adaptation of book 2. And she wrote all season 3, so I'm sure it's going to be phenomenal. But I would, if you haven't read it yet, you should read the book now. Get the audiobook. It's so fucking good.
I should get it. That's on my time now.
Yeah. It's so fucking good. You don't really have to read book 2 if you watched the series, because it is such a good adaptation. But the first book is better than the adaptation of the first season, in my opinion. So if you want like the full experience, listen to the first book. Make sure you know all the names, all of that stuff, so that like when everything starts coming together, because it is like a mystery, so you want to know the players at play. Anyway, that's The Good Girl's Guide to Murder.
The Good Girl's Guide.
The Good Girl's Guide to Murder. Scoop. All right, you have anything else?
Yeah. Yes. Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion, the sequel is happening.
It's happening. It's filming. They had chairs.
Yes, they had chairs. Lisa Kudrow and Marina Sorvino. Yeah, Mira Sorvino are back.
What a crazy thing to see in the feed.
I was obsessed with that movie when I was younger. I thought it was the funniest, cutest thing. I loved their dance.
They invented Post-its.
I loved the outfits, the hair. It was everything. Being a Friends fan, did you watch that movie?
I watched it. I was really young when that came out. And I watched it. I didn't like it as much as Phoebe because they were kind of stupid and annoying.
Yes, that is true.
But I had fun, you know, watching it. I just remember being like, I wish they weren't so dumb. It was just playing into, like, the blonde stereotype of the time.
Yeah.
But I had fun, and I, of course, watched it because of Phoebe.
Yeah. I just remember my mom like bought it at Blockbuster, and she's like, let's watch this one, it's gonna be fun. And then I feel
like it was on TV too a lot. I think I just saw it on TV.
Oh, I never saw it. I just remember having that DVD and like just plugging it in all the time.
Yeah, I just really remember the post-it situation. That was very funny.
That movie gave me a complex about high school reunions. Like,
it literally set the stage for what we imagine high school reunions to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was nothing like my high school reunion was nothing like that. That one was so elaborate. It was like a prom.
I know.
It was at this huge space. At my high school reunion, it was like at a restaurant, and it was like maybe 80 of the 316 kids.
Oh.
That was a huge one that they had.
I don't even know. Like, I don't think we even had one. None of my friends, I don't even know.
we only had the 10-year.
Oh, yeah, the 10-year. Yeah, I mean, that would have been 4 years ago. And
I have 20-year coming up in 2028. I wonder if they'll do something. I think it's kind of fascinating to go and just see everybody. Because mm-hmm. you don't see a lot of these people. They don't post anything. Like, I am all over the internet. So it's like, I feel like these people see me. I don't get to see them. Mm-hmm. I don't get to know what they're up to. My mm-hmm. casual acquaintance people and, like, the randoms. But, like, and it's really interesting and fun to, like, talk to people that I was kind of friends with and see how they're doing.
Having only 300 people in your class, did you know a lot of them?
I knew everyone's name, yeah. I didn't know a lot of them. I knew everyone's name, and I, like, knew a chunk of them, you know?
Yeah.
I was a choir girl. I had my group of friends. But we knew everyone's name.
I had 800 people in my class, so...
That's crazy.
It's a little different.
Yeah, like, that's, like, not viable to know everybody. Mm-mm. Yeah. And... do they, like, give you the ranking, your class rank, when you have that many kids in the class? I guess they do, probably, yes. Obviously, there's a, what is it called? Valedictorian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So many numbers. Imagine being 800. So sad.
Yeah, that's a lot. It was too, we had two lunches, because they couldn't fit everyone at one lunch.
Well, like, in my middle school, they had three lunch periods, which sucked, because you could be in one that wasn't your friend's lunch period.
Yes, I know. That was the worst part.
Yeah. But in high school, there was just the one, which is great.
Well, we had two.
So, wait, were you not in lunch with some of your friends?
Yes.
Sucks!
And then they made the other high school, and then our class split.
And then how much did you have in your class?
Well, at first it was over 1,000 people in our class, my freshman and sophomore year.
Did it split evenly?
No, it didn't split evenly. Like, there was...
You had 800?
Yeah, it was like 750 or something, like around that.
That's wild.
But also, our class was the first one to split. So, like, the like junior and senior class were still at like 1,000.
That's so insane. It's like, I used to pride myself on knowing everybody's last, first and last name. And I had like an idea of like just who they were, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's so weird now when sometimes, but if they weren't in my grade, no idea. I just like knew the people in my grade. Like, I feel like I studied the yearbooks growing up.
Nerd.
That girl. But... anyway, it's so weird, like, when my friends will bring up a name, be like, you know this person, and I'm like, nope, have no memory of them at all. Like, or, like, this person, and I can't remember their last name. It's freaking me out, because I knew them all.
Well, there's the other information that needed to probably take precedence.
I know, that needs to take precedent, of course. It's just weird, because I was, like, so into it. It's just like how when I was in elementary school, I knew everyone in my grade's birthdays. And pride myself, and I still know a lot of them.
I knew everyone, like all my friends' birthdays, and I know all my family's birthdays, but that's a step
I was crazy.
Jesus, Christine.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Especially if they're in August.
Oh my God. Definitely. I see why you don't want to be crazy, Christine.
I am crazy, Christine. All right.
But has that filtered into your adult life? Do you know all of our friends' birthdays?
If I saw them written down, this is why I know them, because they used to be hung on the walls in my classroom. And then, like, a lot of teachers did it, so I would, like, memorize them. But I'm, like, very visual in that. So if I haven't seen it written down, then it doesn't stick as much. But I do know most of our friends' birthdays. I'm really good at birthdays if I've, like, known you for more than a second.
Yeah, me too. Well, no, some of them slip out of my head sometimes.
Like, I remember one of the people I dated were like, I don't know every one of my family's birthdays. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? Like, they didn't know, like, their sibling's birthday.
That's,
I was like,
wild.
That's,
well,
blasphemy. You have a cheat code because your sibling is born the same exact day.
But I know everybody's. I know my cousins. I know my aunt. I know my uncles. I know my grandparents.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I mean, like, and I feel like I know most of my cousins, but I used to know, like, all of them. Like, I knew my class.
You have way more cousins than I do. Yeah, I have
a lot of cousins.
Six. So.
Yeah. I have 27, so it's a bigger net there. But, like.
27.
I know most of them.
First cousins?
Yeah, first cousins.
Okay, we've been on a tangent for a while. Let's get back to the news.
Let's get back to the news.
I just went, so it's your turn.
Oh, I was waiting for you. Okay. Well, news, if you like paperback novels, Attached at the Hip is now available to order in paperback.
Ooh!
If you've been waiting to get the paperback edition, because there are specific people who always message me and be like, I don't buy hard copies. Where's the paperback? And I'm like, I don't know. I just have to wait and see. But it is out and available, so go grab it if you've been waiting. And if you don't know already, I have a new novel called 30 Flirty and Forever Alone. It is an adult rom-com. It's my adult debut. I love it so much. It is giving Nobody Wants This. If you like that series, you're going to like 30 Flirty and Forever Alone. If you like 27 Dresses, if you like Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, if you like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, it has like the nostalgic 2000s vibes. And it is available in any format you like. Audiobook is great. I just got so scared. Your cat is in the window. I thought it was a human. Oh my God. Anyway, 30
sometimes
Flirty.
I think when I watch Bellamy going out of your view, I feel like he's going to walk into mine.
I literally think the same thing, because you're kind of just seeing it. Half your brain is seeing it and you're not really concentrating. You're like, is there someone behind me now?
Sorry.
But sorry, another tangent. But anyway, if you're in the UK or if you're in Australia, 30 Flirty and Forever Alone is on sale till June 14th, so grab it while you can. Actually, this is maybe going up on the last day. You can get it for a really great sale. $2 in Australia, £1 in the UK. Grab that baby. Or you can get it in paperback, and that's great, and I would love that. Thank you. Or audiobook. All right, but that's out, and it's my newest child, and I hope you really enjoy it. Thank you.
We love a paperback, the floppiness of it.
Yes. Do you have anything else, or should I
keep it? Yeah, the Social Reckoning trailer dropped. This is the sequel to The Social Network by Aaron Sorkin. Completely different cast. I forget when it's set.
I feel like it's coming out in October or something.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about, like, when is it set in, like, the Facebook landscape?
Oh, yeah, I don't know either.
But he's going to another, like, there's like another trial, I guess, that he's going to be in.
Of course. That man, I feel like, was in many, many trials.
Yeah. What? I'm like, what does that do to your stress levels? Like, is it
worth it? I don't know, because when you're a billionaire, does it really stress you out that much?
I guess not.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. All right. So, some quick news here. Legally Blonde, the prequel series, is premiering July 1st. So, that's coming up now. I'm excited about that. It is Elle Woods before college. She's in high school. And yes, they moved to Seattle from LA. And she's a fish out of water there. Mm-hmm. And then we got a trailer for Enola Holmes 3, mm-hmm, which is premiering on Netflix July 1st as well, which is so soon. They really were just like, here's the movie.
They announced it with the trailer and I think the poster last month or 2 months ago.
That's so close to release.
I know.
Like, I didn't even know it was coming.
I was like, oh, is Henry going to be in this movie? And he is, so...
I love these movies. They're so fun, and they're directed so well, and the cinematography is so fun, and I love them. Mm-hmm. So with Millie Bobby Brown, if you guys don't know, there are two movies already out on Netflix, and they're really fun binge if you want to watch them. She is Sherlock Holmes's younger sister.
And Henry Cavill plays Sherlock Holmes, and I love him in the second one.
And then the second brother is Finnick, right?
Oh, Sam. I forgot that Sam's in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Sam such Claflin. A great cast. And then Bellatrix plays her mother, and she's amazing.
Helena Bonham Carter. Christine just remembers the fandom names, the characters. I have the real names.
I did remember Millie Bobby Brown.
Good job.
And Olivia Rodrigo's ex-boyfriend plays her love interest.
I don't know his name, unfortunately. It's like,
I knew it.
Harry? No.
No. Anyway, who cares? All right. In other news, there has been so much Odyssey press, and Robert is just such a big part of it. I want to see it so much more now. Like, I wanted to see it, but like, mild. Now I'm like, I can't wait to work in Garcia Odyssey.
The Odyssey. Yeah, Alex got tickets without me, so I am.
Are we gonna
free
see
to
it
see
together?
It with you? Okay. What
I said? Are we gonna see it together?
Yeah, I don't need to see it in the true IMAX.
Neither
it's already
do I.
Sold out.
I don't give a shit about. I don't the true care. IMAX. I just want to see the movie at the theater. All right. Did you see the Megan Stalter Paul W. Downs for Paper Magazine shoot? Okay. For those of you who don't know, because I didn't know, this happened in 1992. No one ever told me I was 1 year old or almost two when this pop culture moment happened with a Calvin Klein campaign with a shoot with Mark Wahlberg and Kate Moss.
Yeah.
And they're both shirtless. Well, Mark Wahlberg was 20 years old at the time. Kate Moss was 18. And apparently she felt very like uncomfortable during the whole shoot. That's a whole separate story. But there's these iconic photos from the shoot that became like huge across the world for mm-hmm. Calvin Klein. And Megan Stalter and Paul W. Downs from Hacks, who are hoping to get a spinoff, did their like remade these photos for Paper Magazine. And they're so good. And Paul W. Downs is so fucking ripped. Holy shit.
He's very, yes. I love the blonde wig that Meg was wearing.
Oh, she looks great in that wig.
Yeah.
She's doing this whole like pop star bit. I don't know if you've seen it.
Oh, I've seen it. She is a she is a plus size queen. She's rocking it. I love
her. She's amazing. She's so funny.
Yeah, if you watched Love Story, which is the Kennedy, Caroline Kennedy and Why am I blanking on his name?
John F. Kennedy Jr.'s.
Caroline Kennedy worked for Calvin Klein during all of that. And they kind of, briefly talk about Marky Mark. And
I didn't even know. Okay, I was reading the summary about him. It was like, Mark Wahlberg was going by his rapper name, Marky Mark. I was like, what the fuck?
You didn't know any of this?
Okay. Rapper name?
Yeah. My mother was, like, hugely, you know, into the pop culture moment at that time. So, like, it was before we were born. So I was educated on all of Mark Wahlberg and all of that stuff back then.
I've heard the phrase Marky Mark. Did not know that.
Marky Mark and the something Mark kid
Wahlberg,
yeah, and then
the
his
fuck
and his I think his brother was also in the band. Yeah, he was a rapper. He literally doesn't ever want to talk about it. He doesn't ever want to be called Marky Mark. He like has like tried to erase that past.
He's done a successful job. I've never heard of it, and I am 35. All right. Okay. And other news. I think there's one more thing. Oh, yeah. So if you are a Carly Fortune fan, all the episodes of Every Year After are now on Prime Video. Are you going to be watching this?
Yes.
Me too.
I want to read the book, though. I didn't realize it was coming so quickly.
Well, it's here.
All right, it's just also Brago is distracting.
Let's move into what right now. What are you reading?
Oh, Jessica asked, what's it about?
Oh.
We don't know.
Wait, what is what about? I missed. I already
1 year after.
Oh, I am thinking it's called 1 year after another. My impression just from that title is that it's one of those tropes that I love where they see each other once a year at a certain time period for a long time, you know?
Yes, I think it's, wait, where is it? Every Year After. I think it's about brothers.
Fine, okay. I don't want to be spoiled or know anything about it.
Okay, so am I not allowed to talk, like, say this?
What is the one sentence?
I don't know. There's the narrative. 6 formative summers in a Canadian lakeside town.
And eventually it sounds like what I said. Every year after, they see each other during the summer.
Yeah, so it's... Wait, story follows Persephone, Percy, Frasier, and Sam, who were inseparable childhood best friends and first loves.
Nice. Very exciting. Guess what it also sounds like? A love triangle, bitches.
I don't think there's a third person.
You just named 3 people.
No. Sorry. Their name is Persephone Frasier, but she goes by Percy.
Oh.
I'm going to try to listen to the audiobook before I watch the show.
If it's brothers, that means it's a love triangle.
I don't think they're brothers. I think I'm just read something that something happened, so I'm not going to say it.
Oh. It's a spoiler?
Yes, for you.
Great. All right, let's move into it right now then. What are you reading right now?
I'm reading Christine's book.
Oh my God, how exciting.
I'm reading See You at Twilight, and yay. I think I'm like 70% of the way through.
What do you mean you're 70% through?
I'm like I'm like a little bit over halfway through.
I was like, how can you be 70% through?
Hold on. Let me see. I'm on page 519. I'm halfway through.
The page is not going to mean anything.
519 out of 1,073. I am halfway through. I'm halfway through.
Just so everyone knows, it's not 1,073 pages. It's just what it is on the ebook version that she's looking at. It is not that long.
No.
It's just the normal length of my books. That's very exciting. Excited to talk about it with you when you're done.
Yes.
I just finished Bad Boy Era this morning, and I think this is actually my favorite Amy Dawes book. Mm-hmm. It had all the things and made me laugh, made me cry, and it was just really fun. And there's just, like, having the Irishman was a really great change.
Yes.
up and just having him be from somewhere else really raised the stakes in terms of the relationship. And mm-hmm. it was really fun.
Yeah. Also, congratulations to Amy, who hit the New York Times bestsellers list.
New York Times best-selling novel. And she, if y'all don't know, she's been an indie author most of her career. And this series, she signed with a traditional publisher. And so this was her first book hitting the New York Times bestseller list, which is so exciting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's like, I can't, like, I can't imagine being an indie author and then like never really having the opportunity to hit the New York Times because of how booksellers purchase books and booksellers mm-hmm. don't really, like Barnes & Noble, they don't purchase indie authors, which is unfortunate. Mm-hmm. And then finally being able to have that chance so many years later, it's incredible. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy for her. Jessica says, feels like you read so many books, which I love. How many books do you average a year? I never count.
I have counted mine the last few years. Last year, I didn't read that many because I wrote two books. But I'm like between 25 and 35. It's not like an excessive amount because we're not trying to win a goal. Just trying to enjoy reading. Yeah.
I think I average maybe a little bit more than Christine because she's writing. Mm-hmm. I might do 3 to 4 books a year, and so that's like 36 to,
well, you said 3 to 4 books a year.
Sorry, 3 to 4 books per month a year.
That's like, that's not, no.
So like around 30 to probably 45.
Yeah, I've read 17 so far this year.
Oh, so. We don't use Goodreads. I mean,
no, I don't use Goodreads anymore. Like, once you become an author, it's kind of like toxic.
I don't want people to track.
And I just stay off of those apps now because as an author, I feel like it's not, I don't want to be over there. It's kind of just messes with my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Next TV. What did you watch this week?
Love Island is back. Ooh. So that's on every single day. Except for Wednesdays, so there is no new episode tonight.
That's crazy.
Yes. So the U.S. version and the U.K. version are back. I've caught up with all of the U.S. I started the U.K. last night. And yeah, I'm enjoying it. Usually it doesn't get good until around like the third week because people get to know each other, the bombshells are coming in, they're messing stuff up, relationships are happening.
It's crazy to me that this is shot and posted.
It is so wild.
It's happening. Like, that is so much stress on the people making the show.
Well, and they have two seasons happening at once. I don't know around the other world, but like, it's happening at the same time. So they have two different teams under like the same probably creative direction.
And you know what? They are shooting Survivor season 51 and 52 right now. So they're probably also out there on the island again.
Yeah.
At the same time.
It's so wild. And like, it just, they're just being filmed all day long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and it's like, it's kind of different. It's different than Big Brother. Cause like, it's not like people can stream them at any time of day, but it is kind of like that in the way that they're not seeing it happen. You know, like, they're not seeing the episodes. They're there.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
They're there. They have no idea what's going on the outside or how they're being perceived.
Yeah, or how they're being edited. Yeah. It's so scary. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, been watching that. Also finished Rivals, which is, like, my favorite British drama on Hulu right now, also on Disney+. They dropped 6 episodes per week. And then apparently they're bringing it back in November for I don't know how many episodes. Wait, so that was,
you said they dropped 6 episodes per week?
Sorry, they dropped 6 episodes once per week.
Okay.
And then apparently that was not a season finale and that they're coming back with more episodes in November.
So it's like a part 2 of the season.
I guess so. But I'm like, why would they wait all the way to November?
I think they had a scheduling conflict to film an episode with an actor or something, and they needed to push the second half.
Hmm.
That's what I think would cause that weirdness. because it's not like they're doing it like Netflix, like subscribe another month.
Yeah, so I guess we shall, I'll wait until it comes back. But it's so good. You guys, please watch Rivals. It's like so dramatic and the cast is just stacked.
I need to watch it. I watched the next few episodes of Maximum Pleasure Guaranteed. This show is so good and so annoying to have to wait every week because it always ends on a cliffhanger. And I was like, ah, it's a thriller. And it's like, you just want to watch it all. And Natasha's like, I'm just going to wait till it all comes out. And yes, that is smart. But I will be watching it now that I'm in it. I need to know what happens next every time that we get to the fucking cliffhangers.
My aunt was saying the same thing. She's like, I don't want to watch this week to week. It's so good, though.
It's so good. And it's like, it's like very thrillery in that, like, you're on the edge of your seat and then it's like over. Wait till next week. And I'm like, fuck you.
Apple TV just has like the best shows. They also dropped their shows. They dropped Cape Fear with Amy Adams.
I don't even know what that is.
What? Oh my god, Miss Film Major. Cape Fear is
how does it have anything to do with anything?
It's a remake of a film.
I can't know every film that's ever existed.
But Cape Fear is like a really well-known never mind.
It's about a woman and we are taught nothing about women films.
Well, not really. Jack Nicholson is in it.
Back in the era.
Back, wow.
Of 2008 to 2012.
Cape Fear originally had Jessica Lange and Jack Nicholson in it. And they go to the Cape Fear where it's like a vacation area. And then this guy, Jack Nicholson, is terrorizing them, the family.
This guy, Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never even heard of it, but so anyways, this is a series.
They remade it with Amy Adams and I just had his name. Javier Bardem, who's playing Jack Nicholson's role.
Okay. So he's stalking them?
Yes.
Terrorizing them?
Yes.
Interesting.
I also want to watch Widow's Bay, which is also on Apple TV.
My neighbor's watching that and enjoying it.
Yeah.
We both finished Margot's Got Money Troubles. It was so good. Watch it. It was excellent. Also on Apple TV. And they were signed on for a second season. So that's happening. They're coming back. I'm very pumped. I tried to watch Fallout Season 2. It's hitting the same issue Westworld Season 2 does. There's too many storylines and there's no heart. Like, there's no heart of the story. There's no emotional drive to care. So you don't want to watch it because there's no relationships that are endearing to watch.
Mm, yeah.
And it's very sad. I just was like, I don't want to force myself to watch this because I don't care right now.
Yeah. We also dropped off, too, because of that.
Yeah, I was like 3 episodes in. Mm-hmm. But Mindy Kaling's new show, Not Suitable for Work, has dropped on Hulu, and it's so cute and so fun. It is about a bunch of like 20-somethings after college, you know, just joining the workforce, trying to live in New York City. And it's got like a Friends vibe in that there's women living across the hall from, three guys. And there's one of the women wants to be a stylist. She's working for Constance Wu, who is like a very, well-known stylist. And she ends up having to style a celebrity that she has on her roster. And that celebrity like asks her out and she's like, no, I can't. Constance would hate me and fire me. But now they're like talking. And then there's another girl who just moved from Boston to live with her. And she works in like banking finance. And there's just like so many love lines too, because she has a relationship. Like she had a one night stand with one of the guys across the hall in college. And one of the guys across the hall works with her. And he has a huge crush on her. And she has a crush on their boss. And like, there's just so much going on. And across the hall, there's like a guy who's in med school, but he wanted to be an actor. And it's just like, they're all like weird and precious in that Mindy Kaling character way, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just getting better as I watch more. Because like the first episode, it was like fine. And you're kind of like learning these characters. And then by like episode 4, which I'm on right now, I'm in.
I know. I turned it on and I was like, I don't know. I'm not feeling it. But if you said that, I need
give
to
it
keep
a second.
Watching. I will keep watching.
Give it a second. Give yourself a second to like learn more about these kids. One of them is a Nepo baby. And he's like annoying, but he wins you over. He's like a well-meaning Nepo baby who's learning to stop being annoying. Anyway, yeah, that's what I watched this week. And movies.
We both watched Office Romance.
We both watched Office Romance with J-Lo and Brett Goldstein. It was so good.
It was really well done.
I love a J-Lo rom-com. Like,
me too.
She knows how to rock a fucking rom-com. It was giving me like flashbacks to The Wedding Planner and such.
Yeah, it was really fun. Definitely like some like really crude scenes, honestly. But
not like crude in a way that they weren't endearing in the end.
Yeah, they were like, oh my God.
Uh-huh. It was like, Brett Goldstein wrote it, and it definitely like shows more of a male perspective in a rom-com than we usually get, which is like fresh and new in my opinion, because usually we don't really see an endearing male rom-com. Usually they are crude and annoying.
Yes. I really loved one. wedding pressures.
I hate that rom-com. That's not a rom-com.
I really love Brett Goldstein in this.
And I love everything he writes. I knew I was going to like it.
Yeah. Oh, Hitch. Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Hitch. You know, I like Hitch. I just rewatched it and it still holds up. Hitch is a good one, but it doesn't have like a great end. Land as well as like the full package rom-com, you know? Mm-hmm. I rewatched it and I was like, I'm kind of done by the end, and they don't have a nice, beautiful scene where they get together. He kind of just gets hit by a car at the end.
All I remember is laughing during the Sea-Doo scene when he like kicks her.
Was rough watching it this time.
I can't imagine rewatching that as an adult and being like, whoa, geez,
everything
Louise.
Else like still kind of holds up. Like he's perceived as a guy trying to get guys laid when really he wants to find them love and get them out of their way. So I mean, like, that one still holds up, but it doesn't have the full package. Forgetting Sarah Marshall was way too long and was funny at parts, but like I don't consider it as a rom-com because it was so raunchy. It almost felt like more of a comedy. Before Sunrise is like equally male female point of view. We're like in the moment the whole time. I don't think that's a, like, I'm talking about, like, you know how when it opens on, we open a lot on the female perspective in a lot of rom-coms.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, I think we open, I can't remember, but I feel like Brett and J-Lo, Brett gets, like, equal perspective.
Yes. I really liked, there was, like, a scene when he's, like, playing a lawyer and she owns this airline company, mm-hmm. and the main lawyer guy gets injured and he can't take over this case, and so he has to go into this deposition, and he's just being silent, and she's like, I need to talk to you, and she's like, why are you yelling? He's like, just trust me. And then he goes back in and like he makes his point so calmly, and I was just like, yes.
Frank said Adam Sandler rom-coms. I am not endeared to an Adam Sandler rom-com in this way at all. They're more like, they don't feel like rom-coms. I'm like, which one would I say? Mr. Deeds is my favorite.
Like 50 First Dates, but
no, that's so depressing. That is a drama. I like when people bring up 50 First Dates, like, don't talk to me about that. That was so depressing.
Spanglish is a hard watch. I remember, like, I haven't seen it since I was probably in high school.
You know what the thing is? Male rom-coms are not usually as vulnerable. That's what it is. Like, you see them being, like, more funny and goofy. And this one has the same, like, openness that you see from the female perspective, from his perspective, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know what I loved? Sorry, spoilers. Fast forward me, like, a minute if you don't want to be spoiled. But I just want to talk about it. I love how random and goofy it was that she had an England room.
She has
a total British boy fetish. I was like, that's so many of us. And it was so funny because it was just so out of the blue. And then when he came out in the guard costume.
That was great. That was the best. It was
so good. Yeah, I loved it. Anyway, very good.
Anyways, I also went to the theaters and I saw Obsession, which I've been wanting to watch for a while. And this is an indie film that got like major funding out of TIFF, which is the Toronto Film Festival. And it cost $750,000 to make. And it's like been going like gangbusters. Like everyone has been talking about it. Why do you think you're not old enough? I don't even want to talk about, I only went into it knowing that like it was kind of a take on like a Crazy Girlfriend. No.
I want to see it. So I don't want to be spoiled or anything.
You definitely need to see it. It's a little scary. There's some scary scenes in there, but it's not like,
but there's no, like clowns on the ceiling.
No. And it's not like, scary that like you're gonna have nightmares because it's like the audacity of a man.
Yeah, it's the things that scare me in scary movies are like ghosts and monsters, like The Grudge and The Ring. Like it's different when it's different. Yeah, anyway, I'm excited to see it. All right.
Frank says, as I walked out of the film, multiple groups were saying that was fucked.
All right. We're going to move into our main discussion about love triangles. But first, I want to take a second to thank everybody out there listening. Thank you so much for being a part of our podcast community. If you haven't already, we'd love it if you followed us for free on your favorite podcast listening app. So that could be Spotify or Apple Music or wherever you like to listen. If you like to watch the show, we are on YouTube. There's a visual version, youtube.com/@thoseforkingfangirls. You can watch the show every week and you can subscribe there for free so you never miss an episode on YouTube. And then if you don't know, this podcast is made possible, sponsored by viewers and listeners like you and through our Patreon, which is why we're able to do this. And we do an extra half an hour show every single week called Fangirl Tea Time that's attached to the main show if you become a patron. We'd love to have you join that community. And there are three tiers. At the first tier, you get Fangirl Tea Time and you get like an archive of all the way back to episode 120. That's a lot of episodes at this point from the first tier. In the first tier, you also get the show ad-free. And you get to come to recordings and be a part of the discussion live. The second tier, Team Edward, you get a lot of bonus episodes. Oh, we're about to put up the Q&A from our Texas event for 30 Flirty and Forever Alone in full on the Patreon. It from Team Edward up, we'll get access to that. It was such a fun discussion. And that'll be available soon. Check the description. It might be available now. And at our third tier, we do fangirl bonding sessions on Zoom every month, which is so fun. We get to know y'all. And it really just is so nice to know y'all too. Get to know all of you. And that's what we do on the Patreon. So hit up our link in the description if you want to check it out. Patreon.com/thoseforkingfangirls. All right.
Woo!
Woo! If you're a patron, we're rolling right on in. If not, we will be right back after these messages.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And we're back, and we're talking about love triangles today. I wanted to talk about love triangles for a while. It's been on our like podcast topic idea list for like 2 years now. Mm-hmm. Love triangles somehow became the bane of so many people's existence in the 2010s, okay? It became not cool to like love triangles. And I think we're still somehow stuck in that as a society. People's auto response is like, ew, I love triangle. But then I'm like, I'm sorry. Did you like The Summer I Turned Pretty? Did you like The Vampire Diaries? Did you like The Infernal Devices? You know what all those have in common? Amazing motherfucking love triangles, bitch. You just don't like a bad love triangle, which is, you don't like, obviously, we don't like bad anything.
I feel like there was just so much of it. In,
it was like overload after Twilight.
Even before Twilight, like I even was reminded of like Sex and the City. I haven't seen that, but Sex and the City, like Harry had two love interests at once, and it was hard to watch.
What made it hard to watch? Like, what was it about it that was annoying?
Well, we knew which one was better for her, and she ultimately ended up marrying the guy that was more toxic. Yeah.
So, and she made the wrong decision in the love triangle. Mm-hmm. See, yeah, I think that is not what makes like the most amazing love triangle. What makes a great love triangle is when everyone is a great option. And everyone loves each other. That's why brothers is so endearing too, because there's this dynamic where like the brothers love each other. We don't want to break up the brothers, but we want the brother to be with her. But the other brother is also good with her, and they both love her, and they both support her. So like, what do we do?
Yeah.
Like that's what makes for a great story, because everyone, you're rooting for everyone. And I think what ruined love triangles for so many of people in our age group, specifically like who didn't maybe watch Sex and the City, was the Twilight, the way that Twilight really revolutionized the marketing for a movie using the love triangle.
Oh, yeah.
Because they really succeeded in blowing up the book using Team Jacob and Team Edward. There was merged, there were sides, but like there, if you read the books, there is no Team Jacob. Like, yes, it's there, but it's there more in Twilight than it is in like the Hunger Games, who use the same tactic for no fucking reason, because the Hunger Games is a completely different vibe. Katniss doesn't like anybody. She is too traumatized to be in a real romance.
It's interesting that Hunger Games took it that way because it's a YA. But like we all knew that Hunger Games was a
dystopian
tragedy. Like, difficult kids dying story, and then they decided to monopolize the love triangle.
To hark on their love triangle and use it for marketing. Like Gale is a blip in the Hunger Games. Like, he's barely there, and they put him in the trailers so much so that they could be like, Team Peter or Team Gale. But the story of The Hunger Games is so much bigger than the romance, because it is a political thriller dystopian novel.
Yeah, the romance is not the main plot point.
Honestly, the way we market the romance really reflects the worst parts of The Hunger Games, you know, how Katniss is forced to use her romance to endear herself to these people that don't give a shit about kids dying. They give a shit because there's a romance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder if it played out now in like the year 2026, if it would be marketed differently than when it was back then.
Well, yeah, I mean, Sunrise on the Reaping, we're not seeing anything about any romance. Not that it's the same.
That's true.
Because there's no real like big, well, there is.
Oh, there is.
It's just, there is. It's also, I wonder if it's also due to the fact that it came out, you know, in 2012 and the lead was a woman and they're like, well, there has to be romance, you know?
Yeah.
That's like pulling women in centrally to the plot or else no one will come to the movie or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love romance and I want there to be romance, but like, it's just the love triangle of it all was so fake. It felt like false advertising.
Yes.
That's what was so annoying about it. And then there were so many paranormal romances that cropped up that just had shitty love triangles. Like ones that would torture you reading it.
I know, but like, why?
Why because, did they like, have them?
Because was it a Twilight sales was so tactic?
Successful.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it became a thing where there was a formula to success and it was Twilight.
Mm.
And people were using that to really like quickly get a publishing deal.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then like, but then those stick in your mind and you don't remember all the really good love triangles that you've read and enjoyed. Like, The Summer I Turned Pretty was an absolute phenomenon, and it's because there's an amazing love triangle. You're so, and they're able to quickly sway us back and forth with the seasons.
I know. It was done so well.
Yeah.
But I do, like, we go back to it. I think, like, the sibling aspect of it is what makes it so hard. But because like, there's love on all ends.
There's love on all ends, but they also can do that really well in when they're not siblings. They can be best friends. Let's take the greatest love triangle of all time, the Infernal Devices. Mm-hmm. Okay? Cassandra Clare, master of the love triangle, parallelogram, octagon. She is so good at weaving all these love shapes into her urban fantasy novels, and they are really truly what makes the stories so endearing, because there's so many of them overlapping and they're all so thoroughly captivating. Like, we want these characters with all these different people, we don't know who to choose, and you haven't lived a love triangle thoroughly until you've read Clockwork Angel, Clockwork Prince, and Clockwork Princess.
I feel like I need to reread it because I need to be reminded.
You do. It's so fucking good. And I will talk about it forever. And people were like, I don't like love triangles. I'm like, go read The Infernal Devices. You don't know a love triangle.
It's interesting because all of these love triangles we're talking about is one female and two males. Can you think of anything that is two females, one male?
I'm trying to think of a good one. I don't think it's been done as well.
Bridgerton.
Because we can't. Yeah. There's Bridgerton, which is the best season.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bridgerton was, oh, I mean, Hamilton.
Oh.
Yeah. I think that we don't clock it as a love triangle as fast because
maybe because like men like want to fight and women just like are just hurt.
Yeah, I think because of the stereotypical gender roles.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it is a love triangle in Bridgerton. Yeah, and it's a great one. And it's very, that's, again, it's brothers, but it's sisters.
I feel like women will back down.
They will. They don't want that conflict.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he's not worth it.
And women support women.
Mm-hmm.
But like The Vampire Diaries is also a spectacular example. Like, we absolutely ate that show up. And it's because like a lot of people love Stefan and a lot of people love Damon. And we want Stefan and Damon to get along in the end because they're brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And we want them to love each other. And we also want Elena to be with one or the other. Yes. And then And then you got Caroline, and Caroline's whole thing got so interesting and exciting when there were Stefan and Klaus and mm-hmm. all these different options happening. We love a fucking love triangle. Like, that's what we are tuning in for. What do we tune in for on fucking Sookie Stackhouse? Eric.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Eric and fucking Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And we are...
Team Eric.
Team Eric 100%. But, like, Bill is also there and a nice person. He is the good guy and there's the bad boy. And we love that dynamic. And Bill and Eric were friends.
Ish.
Ish. Yeah. And then we've got Catherine in the Vampire Diaries, who adds a whole nother point to this overlapping triangles. Like, it's so fascinating to have that dynamic and that push and pull. And it just needs to be done right. And you just need to realize that you're thinking about one bad love triangle that soured you on them.
Yeah. Wait, remind me of the love triangle in Sarah J. Maas.
Okay. Sarah J. Maas, guys. Y'all love Sarah J. Maas because she has amazing love triangles. We have Dorian, Kale, and Selena Zardathian in the first book. That's right. A full love triangle. Mm-hmm. And we have that until she introduces another love interest, Rowan, who just adds another point. And then we've got all these dynamics and these exes because she's dated all of them. Like, that's what makes her journey so much fun on top of things. Let's look at ACOTAR. We've got Tamlin. We've got Pharah. And we have fucking Rhysand. And then we have on top of that, you know, like the other dynamics going on with like Elaine. She has like 50 love interests right now. She does. Like, it's like she's mated to somebody. She's got a weird relationship with Azriel. Azriel likes this other Gwen. Like, there's just so much going on. And we love it so much because there are good love triangles happening.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to... Okay, to all the boys we loved before. Also, you know what's so fun about that? She sends out all these letters and she ends up having two options. Like, and we also get a bunch of other tropes because we get three books. So the only Sarah J. Maas that we don't have like a really great love triangle in is Crescent City, and I want there to be one so bad.
Really? Oh, because you want Bryce to have like another option.
I wanted Bryce to like date someone else. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I was so bored of Hunt. That's what happens. This is what happens in a romance. If it keeps going, you either have to break the characters up or you have to add in another option. And if they just break up for no reason, it's annoying. But if there's another viable option that we're like, maybe they're better for her, it's interesting and we're in it.
I've also forgot about how Jason, Clary, and Simon was thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in that case, I was 100% Jace. Like, Simon was sweet and all, but no.
Yeah.
That one felt like the most tropey of Cassie's. I think she really perfected it as we went along.
Mm-hmm.
She found ways to make it like desperately heartbreaking that they couldn't all be a thruffle.
Stop moving.
And then we finally got a thruffle in The Dark Artifices.
You know what I forgot about? One of like in my early days of being like a TV watcher, Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, yeah, our favorite fucking dramas have love triangles. So
many.
Yeah.
Like Meredith with McDreamy, Derek Shepherd, and then his wife, Montgomery, I think that's her name. Like, that was insane. Because, do you want me to remind you or tell you how this went down?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch it, so I don't know it.
So Meredith is an intern.
Jane the Virgin. Sorry.
Jane the Virgin.
What a great fucking love triangle.
So Meredith is an intern. The first episode, she sleeps with this guy that she finds at a bar. And they have like a one night stand. She leaves. That morning, she goes to her first day of work at Seattle Grace Hospital.
Oh, and he's there.
And he's the attending doctor, so McDreamy. They start having, like, an affair and, like, a thing that they keep it secret. She has no idea he's married because they're separated.
And but they are separated.
Yes. And then Addison Montgomery, played by Kate Walsh, comes in and she's like, I want to be together. And then, like, I think they keep it secret from her from, like, they stop, like, sleeping together and then keep it from Addison. And then she finds out. And then that's when, like, the famous line of, like, love me, choose me, pick me comes in.
Yeah. I think another reason that maybe love triangles get hate, and I, this is just purely hypothetical, but I feel like...
Sorry. Frank just said Christine learning TV drama that's over 20 years old.
I mean, like, I couldn't watch Grey's Anatomy. I can't watch doctor shows. I faint.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think one of the reasons, and this is purely hypothetical, but people like to hate love triangles is because they wouldn't want one in their real life because it's so stressful and it's so, like, problematic. But the whole thing is, this isn't real life. It's a trope in dramas, and that's where we like it. We don't want it in real life. Nobody wants some of these romance tropes in their real life.
Yeah. Have you ever, I mean, besides, like the TV dramas and all that, and besides Cassandra Clare, in a real romance novel, like, not fantasy, where there's not like in a rotten, like in a book
a
where
romance novel,
where romance is the plot.
Yeah.
Have you recently read, besides, okay, wait, there's Summer I Turned Pretty. Have you read, I'm not talking about YA,
like,
real romance.
Okay. Those are romance. Those are real romances.
Adult romances. Have you read a love triangle recently?
Have I read a love triangle recently in adult romance? I think they've kind of gone out of
fashion
in terms of, like, people don't want to say it because there's this weird, like, underlying anger towards them automatically with no, I think, real beef behind it. You know, there's just, like, this lingering, like, they're bad. They're not cool. I hate them, without reason, really, to back it up. You just kind of automatically go there because it's in your head. M says Cherry Baby. Oh, that's exciting. I can't wait to read. I still have to read Cherry Baby, and now I finished the books I was reading, and I was on a deadline to read so I could read it. I'm glad you reminded me.
I want to read Cherry Baby, too.
Because I was just thinking last night, I was like, what do I read now? I just finished all my books. I have so much to get to. That's exciting. I am trying to look at my shelf. Like, I think a lot of the just purely romance books I've read as of late have just been, like, one love interest falling in love with the other. But I just had one in my head and I got distracted by Cherry Baby. Fuck. I mean, Attached at the Hip has a bit of a love triangle and I had so much fun with that. And that's new adult. I just don't tout it around because people have this weird, they think they don't like it. And you think wrong. You just don't realize you're reading one. The OC had some great love triangles, but they weren't like Cassandra Clare level. Jessica said, are you reading the new Cassandra Clare books, Blackthorn Hall or something? I don't know what Blackthorn Hall is. I have her adult novel, but I haven't read that one yet. Two new books. Is Blackthorn Hall in the Shadowhunter universe, or is that a completely new... Huh. Okay, I didn't know that that was a thing, and I'm gonna have to look into it, because I'm out of the loop. But... with Matthew. What the fuck? What? Okay. I gotta get on that. but... yeah, I think nobody wants a love triangle in their real life because it's really stressful. I can't even fathom having to take the time to have a relationship with two different people. Like, I don't have time for that shit. I don't have room in my head.
Yeah.
To try to like organize how that would work week to week.
I think, yeah, it's like in real life, if it were to happen, it would be like you have to break up with this person because of X.
XYZ.
They're too long distance, and then you fall in love with somebody else, but the other person is like still in the back
of
your mind.
It's so sad. People think of it as like cheating, I think. And I think that also is like everyone gets all up in arms when it's in fiction, but like it happens in real life, and fiction has to have conflict. And it's just things in fiction. You can like them without liking them in real life, I think, is what it for comes sure. down to. For sure.
I love reading about an alien romance. Do I want to fall in love with an alien?
Yeah.
No.
It's the fantasy. It's being able to live out this fantasy in a fantasy world where it's going to end different than it would in reality. You know? Like, in real life, if you fell in love with an alien, like, who knows what would happen to you? Oh, my God. I had a dream last night that I was in a world where Pluribus was happening, and it was so scary. Okay. And like, what, it didn't happen all at once, like in Pluribus, but like there was a group of us that still had like our agency, and one by one they were like disappearing, and I was like the only person, and it was so scary.
That's creepy. I don't like that.
Everyone should watch Pluribus.
Okay. Ooh, sorry. So do you think because like the teams were pushed so heavily onto us?
Yes.
In the early like 2010s and stuff. And that those teams were because of a young female driven audience that audiences ultimately latched on to that being an ick. Because of it being like young teen girls who like this media.
That's also probably an underlying thing that people aren't realizing, that they associate it with teen girls, and teen girls are associated as bad and embarrassing. And so liking love triangles is associated with being like embarrassing.
But then how did The Summer I Turned Pretty kind of skirt underneath that and snuck up on us?
Because we didn't call it a love triangle.
That's true. But at the end, we were all saying Team Conrad,
yeah,
Team
we
Jeremiah.
Because it's so fun to say that. That's part of it, too. Like, we're the same audience that loved, like, as much as we could say that it ruined love triangle's image for Twilight, I loved being like, I'm fucking Team Edward. Like, I love having a team to support. And I love reading Sarah's books. I love being like, I'm Team Solorian forever! Like, I love having a ship to back. And then, like, telling everybody why they should be endgame, despite everyone thinking they shouldn't, you know? And that makes it really fun to interact with the fandom. It creates a lot of memes, a lot of jokes. It makes a lot of paraphernalia come, you know, there's just a lot in the zeitgeist about it because there's something to argue about that's fun. It's not like we're going to argue and get mad and it gets toxic. I mean, I'm sure there's areas of the internet that it does, but like for the most part, it's lighthearted and fun. And it's a way to create discourse that doesn't get too dark. And I think that it got, again, a bad rep because of teenage girls, a bad rep because sometimes it was pushed by marketing people and not the fans, like with Gale and PETA. But in the end, it's so fun to have a team, and it was so nostalgic to have it come back and be like Team Conrad and Team Jeremiah when it actually was a team. Like, there actually was a chance that she could end up with either brother. And Team Damon and Team Stefan was huge. Like, I used to do videos with my best friend in Jersey, Christina, that was like Delana versus Delana.
There's people who love Stefan, and still to this day.
There are. I could never get behind Stefan.
I like the beginning of it, but I just loved Damon more.
Damon, like, we love a sexy bad boy in a show or a TV. I mean, or a book. But in reality, would we actually want to date a sexy bad boy? I don't know.
Okay, so then this, I had a thought while you were talking that because we as millennial women were the main audience for the big pop culture, like teen girls stuff, and we've grown up with it, do you think that we have pushed that later down, you know, now that Summer I Turned Pretty, like I feel like that there's not this stigma anymore about teen girls liking things.
I think it's like because we're older, it's not teen girls liking things.
And it's interesting. It's like, what exactly do like the teen girls like now? Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like teen girls like all the older content that like millennials.
I think because millennials are so accepting and so excitable about things, like we've made it okay. Like we plowed the way mm-hmm. about being fangirls, you know, like in terms of pop culture. Sure. Before us, it was like so uncool, and it was mm-hmm. uncool for us. But since now we're older and there's so many of us behind, like we've come to a threshold where like it's normalized because we've been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I feel like there's now like young Gen Z are kind of doing the opposite, being like, ew, they're so ick, or like, ew, they're so cringe because we're so loud and proud about being a fangirl. But then like, there's,
if you just keep being loud and proud about it, they find they will get to a point where they're like, oh, it's fun to be loud and proud about stuff that we like. Because yeah. mm-hmm. I think naturally at those ages, you're so sensitive to becoming embarrassed, like during puberty and stuff, and in your early teens and high school. You're so afraid of being bullied that it takes a lot of courage to be excited about something. And I think the natural tendency is to be like, oh, that's embarrassing, and just be quiet, you know, mm-hmm. to protect yourself. And I think with age, naturally, that comes. I think that's always going to be a thing with like young people, like because people were like that to me.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, it was embarrassing, but like I obviously just like did it anyway. But like there's always the people who do it anyway, but like they're not cool.
Yeah.
I was not cool.
I would really like to have a teenage girl in my life so I can ask questions.
We have to interview a youth.
We have to interview youth, yes.
About how they feel about being excitedly a fan of something.
I have access to a few.
I bet like there are cool things to be fans of. Like, don't you think off campus is probably like a cool thing to be a fan of right now?
Yes. I mean, but that's the thing. It's like those are adult ish shows that
it's definitely
they're watching
show. But like it's in college. I mean, when I was in middle school, everyone was watching The OC, and that was high school. And like, I'm sure, I think also like these adult ish shows or like the teen shows were enjoyed by like all ages, right?
I mean, yeah,
I think like I was talking about this with somebody, like YA is a solid bet for women of all ages. Like, so The Summer I Turned Pretty transcended like every demographic of women. Mm-hmm. We all enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And there are obviously like older characters in it, but it is predominantly about these three high school people
mm-hmm.
and their coming of age. And so I think that it's kind of the same with Off Campus. Like, we love it so much and we're looking at it as an adult show because they're in college, but in reality, like, they're like 22. And all the teenagers are coming up on those ages.
That's true. I mean, I guess, I know, like, what is an actual teen show that, like.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I guess it was. Would watch the good teen shows.
Yeah. I mean, like, all of the, like, the 18-year-olds in my cosmetology program, like, we're obsessed with Summer I Turn Pretty, are obsessed with Love Island. Like, now they love Off Campus. Now they love Heated Rivalry. So it's like...
Yeah. But we weren't in our 20s and 30s at the time we were watching these teen shows. But, like, I'm sure that, like, a lot of those people were also watching them and enjoying them.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we're just not seeing from that perspective.
Yeah.
And maybe they weren't as, like, loud about it as... we all are.
Jessica said, this is heavy, but I am a widow and have my second partner now, and I sometimes feel like I have a love triangle in my heart. Not fun. Would not love a love triangle IRL.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm
glad you found a second love.
I know.
Because that's hard.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like kind of what happened, like we talked about at the beginning, is there was a special sauce that was working. And then there was Twilight that like kind really of opened up,
it. Yeah.
Open up those doors, like, yeah, flew them wide open. And then they're like, okay, great. We got to do paranormal love triangles. We got to
have teams.
Teams are going to roll those out. Let's go.
Yeah. And that's what soured it, because it was just overload. Yeah. And they were, like, half-assed for a while.
Oh, well, there wasn't a love triangle in Divergent, right?
There was...
I feel like did they try to push one? I don't remember.
No, they didn't try to push one. I don't think they did. There was too much other stuff going on.
Yeah.
Oh,
Vampire Academy. Well, in the second book.
Vampire Academy has a great love triangle. Mm-hmm. I fucking loved Adrian. Mm-hmm. Oh, so good. So good.
Adrian Ivishkov.
I called him Adrian Ivishkov. That was very... I'm the Ivishkov. Ivishkov. And Dmitry Belikov?
Yes.
Yeah. And it was such a good love triangle because some people loved Dmitry and some people didn't like me. I was obsessed with Adrian. And you really
I liked both.
Strong people on both sides. Yeah. And then... Sydney comes along in the spinoff series and she and Adrian get together, which I love. I love when everyone gets their happy ending, which is why I'm really excited for the Summer I Turned Pretty movie, because we need to see Jeremiah get his girl, whoever that may be. Now that there's no belly. Get his happy ending. Maybe not a girl. He's bi.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Boy love.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. But I want everyone to get their happy ending. And that's like every Cassie book ends with like a wedding and we see another one of our people get their happy ending. It's so wonderful. And all those people have been in love triangles.
I was also thinking about like Star Wars, for instance.
Oh my God. Oh, sorry. I was just remembering that like even Clary's mom is in like an amazing love triangle.
Oh, with that's
Valentine
true.
Valentine and Lucien. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like Star Wars kind of started off as a love triangle before we knew that Luke and Leia were siblings.
I guess so. But like they were never like very romantic on screen. It was just like tension.
And then same thing with Rey and Kylo and Finn.
Mm-hmm. But like I never saw Finn and Rey as more like not friends.
He like really I think because at the end he was like I have something I need to tell you, like he wanted to say that he was in love with her.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, but I still think Finn and Poe should have gotten together. They had much better chemistry.
Yeah, it's been a really long time since I watched. I can't remember toward the end of those movies.
I mean, Rise of Skywalker was ugh. Think about it.
All right, so I wanted to kind of wrap up our love triangle discussion on designing our own. If we had to design our own love triangle, who would be in your fictional love triangle? I can go first if you'd like. Yeah. Okay, this is so weird. I was just thinking, like, would I stick with the one I have? So my fictional love triangle is going to be me and Will Herondale. And I'm like, would I, it'd be really weird to have Jace.
Oh, ew.
I mean, like, that would be really weird because they're from different generations. So, like, I'd have to, like, time travel them and we'd all have to be, like, the same age. And Jace is, like, Will Herondale is, like, great, great, great relative. I don't even know if it's his grandfather or if he's spun off from a different one. Anyway, so I'm going to make it simple here. I'm going to have Will Herondale, me, and Zayden Ryerson. Love. I think I will end up with Will.
Oh my God.
But it'll be an intense competition. Each of them will get their own book.
I feel like I have to have like them. They have to be on like similar playing fields. Like I can't have one that's like all powerful, you know?
Well,
like,
I mean, mine are on similar playing fields.
Oh, you're right. Zayden's lightning boy.
Well, Zayden's a shadow daddy.
Shadow daddy, sorry.
And Will Herondale is an everything daddy. Book daddy.
Okay.
Silliness daddy. Sorry.
Me? Me, Cassian, and Dmitry Belikov.
Oh, completely different vibe, but so you.
I think I will end up with Cassian.
Okay. Yeah, I think so too. I think he's the better long-term choice.
Mm-hmm.
But like, Dimitri's
really good with words of affirmation. So, and I like that.
What a random thing to pull out there. I didn't remember that at all.
Cassian's not that great with words of affirmation. I feel like he's an acts of service bro.
He is an acts of service bro, but that's great to have.
That's also great.
An acts of service bro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like Zayden is funny, but he is like very into violence at times. He's got that like overprotective hot man thing. And I think in real life, I would not like that. And I would definitely lean more towards my Will Herondale boy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So perfect.
Oh, we're doing a celebrity one?
I was going to say we could also do a celebrity one.
Oh, this is easy.
What is your celebrity one?
Me, Henry Cavill, or Jacob Elordi?
And who are you going to end up with?
The problem is that Henry has a child now.
Okay, we're pretending.
Okay, that they're single and available.
They're single and available.
And not attached.
Mm-hmm.
They're both... I'm just going to go with Henry Cavill because he's my ultimate love. Easy.
I had a hard time with this. Like, I was like, do I go Milo Ventimiglia?
And Robert Pattinson?
I don't think Robert and I would, like, ultimately be romantic.
You would be very weird.
I think we'd just be weird friends.
Yeah.
I think we'd have fun. I think it'd be like J-Law, sort of back and forth.
Mm.
No, I mean, J-Law is kind of playing the straight man there, so I think we'd all both be really weird. And so I was like, who else do I put in here? I was like, do I put in Tom Holland? Yeah, I feel like maybe me, Tom Holland, Milo Ventimiglia, but like, I feel like I don't know Milo Ventimiglia. Like, I don't know him. He's very private. So I can't like really put him there.
Yeah.
Like Dylan O'Brien.
Yeah.
Or... maybe Seth Cohen, Adam Brody.
I'd feel like an Adam Brody and Tom Holland.
That would be a good one. I think they're like equal, calm, nice boy vibes.
Mm-hmm. Not me thinking, I'm like, I want to be in a love triangle, Jonathan Bailey and Connor Story. I don't know if Connor plays for my team, but Johnny definitely doesn't.
Well, yeah, Johnny doesn't, but then you'd have this really interesting love triangle where you're in love with Johnny, but he just looks at you as a best friend.
Hello.
And Johnny's in love with Connor, and Connor's also in love with Johnny, and then maybe Connor's in love with you too.
And then we can have a throuple. I just want Jonathan Bailey to be my best friend.
You just want robot on me, but...
I just want Jonathan Bailey to be my best friend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just want everyone to love each other and be happy.
Yes.
All right, folks. Well, we're going to wrap this up with a Dear Christine and Natasha this week instead of a Mary Kiss Cliff. You ready?
We had so many.
Yeah. I'm going to play our music. So we're going to make Dear Christine and Natasha a little segment at the end of our episodes, and it'll replace Mary Kiss Cliff sometimes. So if you want to send in an advice question at any time, please send it to thoseforkingfangirls@gmail.com, and we will be getting to them, you know, as time goes along, one per episode. Natasha, do you want to read this one?
Yeah. Okay, Dear Christine and Natasha, love your podcast so much. I would love some input on whether it's worth getting into a relationship now if I plan to move to my mom's state in a few years.
Now move to my home state in a few years.
How did I read that?
You said now, mom's
but
state.
I plan to move to my home state in a few years. I've been single for 5 years now and I don't really date. I'm officially living on my own with no roommates and I love my me time. I don't understand how people have time for a relationship, and it's definitely something I've been avoiding. Recently, I'm feeling like dating again. I'm about to turn 27. Is it worth it if I don't plan to stick around? It's a lot to ask a partner to move with you to another state, and it's another thing just to get into a relationship and decide not to leave. I tend to fall fast and hard, so just possible I'd stay for them if they didn't want to leave. Lots to think about. I'm currently looking for a therapist. Thanks so much.
I think with this, like, you have to live. I don't think you can, you have to live for the day and the now. And if you're feeling like dating, and then date and just see what happens. You can't live in anticipation of what's going to happen in a few years.
Yeah.
Like that.
Your timeline, when you said a few years, and it's like, I was thinking like, oh, I kind of forgot about that. But like, if you were moving in 6 months, and I would say, just wait.
Maybe, yeah.
But like, if it's in a few years.
Yeah, no. You got to live.
Yeah. Just start.
And you see what happens. Like, mm-hmm. Who knows what kind of experiences you have. But like, if you do find someone you love, then you figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And who knows if that person also wants an adventure or mm-hmm. what you decide. Like, a few, like, having a plan for a few years is
having
great.
A plan not to date for a few years, even though you want to, because you are gonna move and they might not want to, is you're just restricting yourself.
Yeah. So you have no idea like how it would all play out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You never know. Don't put yourself in a box. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let yourself live. Do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. A lot can happen in a few years.
So much could happen. You could decide you don't want to move home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so crazy though, like how a lot of like our parents, like that generation, knew each other for just like a few months and then decided to get engaged. Like, what is that life? I was just thinking about that.
I mean, I do think as we get older, those things do move faster just because of your age.
Mm-hmm.
And like the experiences you've already had, you kind of are more sure of what you want. And you're done. You're not around to waste time.
Yeah.
But when they were really young and getting married so fast, I think is also like, whoa.
It's a little crazy.
It's wild, but it was just like, it's what people did.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a weird shift to imagine yourself doing.
Jessica says, got pregnant after seeing each other for 2 months. Whoops, but 6 years and counting.
Yeah.
Love. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
seven. Great. Sorry. Seven.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, you never know what's going to work out. So just got to jump if it feels right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, like, you don't have to force yourself to date. It sounds like you want to, though. You say you feel like dating again. But, like, if you don't feel like it, don't do it.
Yeah.
Enjoy your alone time. Enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Frank says so many people have marriages in their 30s that happen in less than a year. It happens like that. Yeah, because by the time you're in your 30s, a lot of people have a better idea of who they are, what they want.
If they want kids, sometimes it's like... Yeah,
ticking. Your times are ticking and you want to get going on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and in your 20s, you're more like experimenting and you're not quite sure where you want to be, what you want to do. You're having experiences for the first time more. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
But anyway, all right. Well, thank you so much for sending your question in. And we are going to wrap this episode up. Our podcast is edited by Shannon Burton. And our music is by Cole Jenkins with vocals by Heather Troska. We put out new episodes every Friday. And we're about to go record Fangirl Tea Time. So stay tuned for that if you're a patron. My name's Christine.
I'm Natasha.
And we'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Follow us on Instagram at Those Forking Fangirls.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.